Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
And welcome, everybody. Great to have you with us. It is a Wednesday. It's a hump day. It's the middle of the week. And there's lots to talk about today, friends. Great to have you with us. Politics with your coffee. The whole purpose of this show, as you know, to talk about those political issues of the day, national, international, maybe right here in Oregon, that impact your life, all with the idea that the way we talk about them gives you opportunities, ammunition, thoughts, questions that you can use to persuade others in your world, to bring them over, at least get them thinking, planting those seeds, to get them thinking about some of these issues at a deeper level. Because most people don't. Most people are just busy trying to live their lives, right? Get by, do the things that they need to do. But they still vote. And they make decisions based on a number of things. And sometimes those are just perceptions. Sometimes they're conversations that they have with people like you. So we're going to get into a whole bunch of things today, including this poll that is meant to discourage you. It's a headline on Drudge Report. We're going to talk about it. It's meant to discourage you that Trump can't win. And it ain't true. Also, right here in Oregon, Mark Hass. I served with Mark. He's a former TV reporter. He interviewed me once on a very controversial bill that I had introduced. Well, Mark has been a longtime state senator. He is now running for Secretary of State. Now, let me give you the real backstory of that. Also, I want to also let you know that there's a fake news headline. And what it is it is meant to, again, discourage you from participating in Oregon politics, specifically the recall of Oregon Governor Kate Brown that's happening right now. So we're going to get into all of that today, plus, of course, your phone calls, emails. Phone calls are to 503-589-1220. That is the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. And always you can send me an email to jeff@1220.am. jeff@1220.am. So here's an interesting thing for you to think about. So where do you suppose Trump was in the polls this time in 2015? Now, the reason I say that is this poll that's on the Drudge Report has a headline that's just scarier than heck. Now, you got to understand something about Drudge Report. Drudge writes the headlines himself. And Matt Drudge is one of the few places that I go to get what I consider to be reasonably accurate news stories and headlines. And the headlines often, like they do in a newspaper or in your digital media or whatever you see on social media, piques your interest, doesn't it? It's those couple of words you put in a subject line that capture your attention. So headlines are powerful. And frankly, when it comes to voting, sadly, here in Oregon specifically, but it really is human nature across the country, when it comes to voting, people just read the ballot titles or they read the headlines in the voter's pamphlet. They don't really bother to go deep into the issues and read the arguments for and the arguments against, because many times that lays out both the PR, if you will, the things they're trying to get you to focus on to get you to vote a particular way. Most of the time, people just read the ballot title, if you're talking initiatives specifically, read the ballot title or read the vote explanation. Now, keep in mind that these are typically, the ballot titles are written by the Attorney General's office. And sometimes the ballot titles are written by the legislature if they want to cook the books. There's the fox guard and the hen house. So you have to be careful with all of that. And that's, but my point is that most of the time people just form their opinions based on what they've heard, rather than the realities of the situation and thinking it through. How does it really impact me? How does it impact my world? How does it impact the future of this country? You know, I'm grateful every day that our founding fathers thought this through at a deeper level. Yesterday, I had occasion to have a conversation with the publisher and the chairman of the board of the Washington Times newspaper in Washington, D.C. He's a man I've gotten to know, Thomas McDivitt. I was talking to him about him coming out to Oregon for the Gathering of the Eagles event that we're going to be holding this year as a tribute to Bill Cartwright, who was the founder, Ames, for those of you who know him. Bill Cartwright passed away suddenly, tragically, of a massive heart attack a few months ago. We're going to carry on the tradition of the Gathering of the Eagles, which was his vision. He and his lovely wife, Dama, who have a business here in Salem. And Thomas McDivitt became a friend of Bill's, Ames, as he wanted to be called, because he's a part of the Ames family, the great American tradition of our founding fathers. You see, Fisher Ames was a U.S. senator, and Fisher Ames ended up, he was a member of the House of Representatives. It was Oakes Ames later that was a U.S. senator. Fisher Ames is the author of the First Amendment, friends. Did you know that? Yeah, he is. That guarantees freedom of religion, guarantees free speech. And so Bill Ames is part of that incredible American history. And it's to be celebrated because those are the founding principles. And that's what I was talking with Thomas McDivitt about yesterday, is about how important it is to remember what those founding principles are, because those are eternal principles, the eternal principles of liberty. And this, I mean, this goes back to how God created us, the desire for every man and woman, every human being to be free, to live free. But it relates to how we do business today in terms of politics, the business of politics. And it is a business, folks. And we're going to get into how, you know, Trump diverting through the Pentagon, you know, $3.6 billion of these construction projects to build the Southern Wall. Now, your knee-jerk reaction to that is to say, well, the Democrats are going to shut that down and the Republicans are going to help him. Not so, and I'll explain why he's likely to not only get away with it, but maybe even go do it again. And it's the proclivities and it's the nature of politicians, folks. Big spending politicians who want to bring home the pork. All of that is on the table today. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. The founding principles of this nation are what matter more than anything else. And so when it comes to thinking through how we as people look at and form our opinions, okay, especially when it comes to politics. This Drudge Report headline is incredibly misleading. Now, Drudge, you know, as much as I love the website, I think it is pretty obvious over time now that that there's a bias there somewhere in the Drudge organization against Trump. And I'm not the only one to notice this. I mean, certainly many of you probably have and have, other talk show hosts have. Because it says, here's the headline. Most accurate poll of 2016 now says Biden tops Trump by 12%. Now, just stop for a moment and think about that. First of all, the first thing that comes to mind is, was it the most accurate poll of 2016? I don't think it was. I think the most accurate poll of 2016 was Rasmussen. And I think that that's arguably true. It had a very different result. But just think back to how early we are in this entire election season. You know, we're political animals. This show's Political Coffee, right? It's not Political Animal, it's Political Coffee. It's us as people that are involved in politics or care about it talking about these issues. Well, most people aren't. Most people are not like us. Okay. So what does this mean in terms of anything that you could hang your hat on politically, you know, moving forward? Now, I'm going to tell you that if Trump's numbers were underwater, like maybe Trump was where W was at this time, because W's numbers of approval were a lot less than Trump's at this point. And keep in mind what had happened when W in his first election, you know, we'd gone to war, you know, 9/11 had happened, his numbers were skyrocketing, and then we went to war and the war wasn't going well, or at least the liberal media was trying to make us think the war wasn't going well. And his public opinion. I mean, you got to remember, Bush got into the 20s for a while, folks. Now, that was in his second term, admittedly, after he'd won re-election. But the point is that polls are just snapshots in time, right? And right now, we are way too far early in this election cycle. At this time in 2015, Trump wasn't even the nominee, folks. The polls were all over the place. There wasn't anything that you could hang your hat on. Now, there wasn't an incumbent. I get it. I understand all of that. But to say this was the most accurate poll, that's a very misleading headline. But if you were just reading headlines, you would think, well, man, Biden's ahead of Trump by 12%. Trump screwed up that badly. How can that be? Well, look at the numbers. But look at the numbers of his approval ratings. You see, organizations like, for instance, both Gallup, but primarily and more importantly, Rasmussen, which was the most accurate poll of 2016 in terms of the actual election, how the election turned out. Okay, no, it surprised everybody, and Rasmussen got the closest. It wasn't the, and this is Investors Business Daily, the tip poll, and IBD is a wonderful organization. If you don't read it, you should. It's very conservative. They help commission. They've commissioned this poll with this polling group for a long time, but to say it was the most accurate poll is wrong. Because it's not even related, it's not the same thing. Because it wasn't Biden running against Trump 4 years ago. You get it? This is all, again, meant, and this is a headline, and again, I think somebody in the Trump organization, or the Drudge Report, is anti-Trump to put a headline out this like that out there. So you take all of this with a grain of salt, folks. You start thinking it through. Most people don't. That's why we talk about it. So if in your course of action today, of life today, you happen to be talking to a family member or somebody at work or civic group or social media or whatever, and somebody cites this poll, you need to remind them of some of these things that I just said to you. It isn't real. It's way ahead. And you know what? I would be worried about a poll like this if there was a Democrat nominee, if this was a year from now. Yeah, I'd be really worried if these numbers were holding true and Trump's approval numbers, job approval numbers, were down where Bush's were, down in the 20s. They're not, folks. They're hovering, as they always have been, around the high 40s. Now, most people say, well, you can't get reelected that way. That's not true. You can. Nobody thought that Trump could get reelected or elected to begin with, folks. So don't take this as a headline as gospel, because it isn't. You have the opportunity to share that with other people for all the reasons I just articulated. It's 20 minutes after. Now, when we come back, Mark Hass is running for Secretary of State as a Democrat. I'm going to tell you the real reason he's running, because that ain't what he said. I love Democrat folks.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 22 minutes past the top of the hour. In a moment, I'm going to get back to the Mark Hass real reason why he's deciding to run for Secretary of State as a Democrat, because it's not what he's saying, folks. And I know this for a fact. But I have to say this. Yesterday, you know, I talked a little bit about patience, right? You know, we talked about that UK study. It said people get really angry when it takes 16 seconds for their web page to load, or in England, 28 seconds for their water to boil for their tea. Well, that evokes some response. So in the emails, here's what I got. By the way, you want to send me an email, it's jeff@1220.am. Dwight wrote me a great email, and it really does help me keep this in perspective. He says, when I get a little impatient, I say the words from Psalm 46:10, quote, be still and know that I am God. He says it's not only calming and reassuring, but it puts everything back into perspective. It works. God bless you, Jeff. Dwight, thank you. Very well said. And then he shared with me a letter that he had written, I think, to the Statesman Journal. Yeah, and it wasn't printed. But it was about this editorial. Actually, it was a column by Leonard Pitts that they republished from the Miami Herald. And it was just dinging Trump, saying that basically that his voters are uneducated, right? And he makes some interesting points in it. So patience was a big deal. In fact, Betty, who listens to this show, she's a former Marion County Commissioner, very passionate about liberty, about patience. She said, Proverbs 3, among other things, patience. She says, I feel your pain as I wait for you to get on the air. Man, that hurts, Betty. It really does. Yesterday, I had a little bit of technical issues on the internet. So I had to do the show. That's why it sounded a little bit funny yesterday. I had to do it over the cell phone until we got it worked out. Technology, again, it's a wonderful thing until it doesn't work right for you. I want to remind you, if you haven't tried CBD products, you ought to, because they work. They work for me. And I think, you know, if you're not kind of really needing to take drugs, prescription drugs, which have their places, you know, in my opinion, well, then maybe you ought to try CBD oil products, because they work. And I'm telling you, friends, they work for me. They work for family members. They work for people that I run into on a regular basis. Maybe you ought to give them a try. Go down and talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down at South Commercial, right next to Safeway, South Salem. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. It's where I buy my CBD oil that I take every day a couple of times a day as a tincture under my tongue. It's blueberry flavored. It's great. Vim Natural Products and Body Care. So Mark Cass says he's running for Secretary of State. Now, Mark is a former TV reporter. In fact, when I introduced a spanking bill to allow teachers to spank your kids, for which I was roundly criticized, he interviewed me about it. And back then, he was a Channel 8 reporter. Anyway, then he got into politics, served with me in the House, and he moved over to the Senate. And he's a reliable liberal, although he ostensibly positions himself as a moderate. Okay, so he decided that he is going to run for Secretary of State here. And he announced this yesterday. And the headline, and this is a Salem Reporter story that I saw posted in the East Oregonian. He said, after leading a victorious fight to better fund education, that's the sales tax, folks, which you get to pay for, which you know most of the money won't actually get into the classroom. He says, it's time to move on to a higher office he has long eyed. Quote, when we completed a major landmark in that area this year, he's talking about the sales tax, okay? Quote, I felt it was a natural place for me to pivot and look at this role. So he continues, he made his announcement on Twitter. He says, quote, this is an office where the work affects every single person in this state, and it's critical. It needs someone strong there. And then it says that when reached, Hass apparently reached out to him. Hass said he was closing out his email account in his soon-to-be old job in the private sector, where he is an account manager for an advertising firm out of Eugene called Capelli Miles. Hass says he's long been interested in the functions of the Secretary of State's office, specifically audits, campaign finances, and elections. But as a lawmaker, he's been deeply involved for the push for increased education funding. Hass said on Monday that the passage of the Student Success Act, again, folks, this is the sales tax. It's a gross receipts tax. It's a tax on sales. It's a sales tax, and you're paying it. You're going to pay it on January 1st. A historic school funding package Hass, that he championed, Hass said it was the toughest thing he's done in his career. pass that. Why would that be? Well, maybe because Democrats were a little nervous about passing a tax increase that would be perceived as giving the middle finger to us, the voters, because we rejected it by big numbers with Measure 97 3 years ago. That's why it was the toughest thing for him to do. It wasn't because they had any moral reason for it. It was tough. So the very first audit will ensure that the student success function, the money and all the fund, is all distributed as the legislature intended to teachers and classroom. That, unfortunately, is a lie. It will not go into the classroom. It will be small funds in this overall $700 million. No, actually, it's $1.4 billion per year tax increase scheme. Most of it doesn't go directly into the classroom. That's a lie, demonstrably a lie. The biggest share of it goes to the school districts, and what are they going to do with it? Oh, they'll say that they're going to distribute it. But do you know what it'll really be used for? It'll backfill PERS, folks. That's the reality of it. Now, let me tell you why he's doing this. He's doing this because he told a Republican senator friend of mine that he's got to do it because he needs the money. It's not enough to be an account executive with a advertising firm that gets sweet deals with the state of Oregon, because he does. He's been accused of doing the same thing that Greg Smith has done, is making a good living by using his position as U.S., or rather an Oregon senator. But no, the real reason is because he's got kids in college. That's what he told a colleague of mine. And he needs to make a lot more money than a state legislator and an account executive. That's the real reason Mark Cass is running. Not because he has any real altruistic motive. Back in a moment, Oregon, this is 6:30. Your phone call's coming up. Don't go away.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes to the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. If you're just joining us for a little politics with your coffee, here's what we're talking about. Don't believe the headline on Drudge Report that says the most accurate poll of 2016 now has Biden beating Trump by 12%. As Trump would say, it's fake news, folks. And if you missed my little soliloquy about that earlier in the show, well, you should either listen to the replay of the show at 6 o'clock this evening or the podcast. If you go to kslm.news and you click on podcast, click on Political Coffee, you can see the shows with the date and the subject matter so you know where to find it. Because you really should not miss why this is just a fake news headline. I laid all of that out. Also, Mark Cass launches his campaign for Secretary of State. He's a Democrat senator from the Beaverton, Lake Oswego, West Lynn area. Reliable liberal. I told you why he said he's running for Secretary of State. Not in his official announcement. No, no, no. But what he said privately to a state senator, a Republican friend of mine. He needs the money to pay for his kids' college because he's got kids in college. Plus, he's building a nice PERS nest there, isn't it? I also want to get into recall confusion here. This is another, well, this is actually an editorial in the Mail Tribune that gets a number of things wrong. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about Trump diverting, well, something like $3.4, $3.6 billion of military construction spending. Half of it foreign, overseas, and the other half right here in America. He's diverting it to do what? To build the Southern Wall. And I'm going to tell you why he's going to get away with it. 503-589 is 1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Jeff at 1220.am, and I'll do my best to read it on the air. I want to remind you that my friend Fred Thompson is a guy that can help you. How's that? Well, because he has some great products available from the company that he represents, which is New York Life. These are products, things that you can buy from him, like life insurance or retirement insurance income or something for your grandkids, maybe even your own kids, in terms of whole life policy, something that'll be with them for their entire life that they can remember you by as a parent. And when they're young, it's relatively inexpensive. All of those are good reasons to sit down with Fred, talk to him about your needs. Nobody likes to think about life insurance, but I'm telling you, friends, you better have some because life happens. And you don't want to be caught without life insurance if something happens to you or your spouse, male or female, doesn't matter. You got to be prepared. Be like the Boy Scouts. Be prepared. Call Fred Thompson, New York Life Insurance Agent, 503-428-7479. 503-428-7479. He can come to your home. Or you can come to his office. Doesn't matter. You can sit down and just have a cup of coffee with you. Maybe talk a little politics. He's a great conservative. He's a passionate veteran who loves this country, believes in this country. So, you know, you can do business with anybody you want to, but why don't you do business with someone who shares your principles and your values? Because he does. Fred Thompson, 503-428-7479. So, tomorrow night is going to be the Oregon Executive Club. This is a group that's been meeting up in the Portland area. It's the only conservative group to meet every month in the Portland area for, I don't know, 40 years now, something like that. They're a group of activists who don't engage in activism except on their own. The Executive Club always meets the first Wednesday evening of every month at the Portland Shiloh Airport Inn. Well, this is the group that Don McIntyre led for so many years before he passed away suddenly. And out of this group has come some interesting activities. For instance, Measure 5, which has saved Oregon property tax owners since it was enacted in 1990, came out of this group. It saved us about $20 billion, with a B, folks, in property tax spending that governments would have just spent to become even bigger or backfill their purse. At any rate, tomorrow night at this meeting, actually tonight, what am I saying? It's tonight. Jeez. It's tonight. It's Wednesday night, folks. 7 o'clock, Portland Airport, Shiloh Inn. Bill Currier, who's the chairman of the Oregon Republican Party, is going to be our speaker. He's going to talk with us tonight about why they launched the recall effort, number one, give us kind of the inside story of that. And even more importantly, where they are and how they intend to win once they get the required number of signatures. Now, I want to admit to a mistake here. I think previously I've said on a number of occasions that if they get the number of signatures, you got to have an election in 90 days. No, you don't. You have to have an election in 35 days. So let me correct that. By October 14th, they have to have 280,000 valid signatures. Bill Currier repeatedly has said in public that that they are on track to get that number of signatures. It's likely that he's going to share the same thing with us tonight. Well, so we'll find out. But here's where this editorial gets it wrong. They start off by saying, and again, this is a Mail Tribune, which is a Medford. The Mail Tribune is still a liberal paper, and the editors are liberal down there. When reporters, they start this story off, from the Oregon Capitol Bureau interviewed about 30 voters signing recall petitions against Governor Kate Brown at the Oregon State Fair last week, the majority of them had trouble saying exactly why they wanted to recall the governor. That's the first clue that this recall is going nowhere. Really? Now, who's going to hold this? I mean, probably some local conservatives down in the Medford area would hold the editors accountable to this if, in fact, they get the required number of signatures. Now, the Oregon Republican Party says they're on track, right? And I've asked this question, I posed this question to you, and it's a question you can use in conversations with others. And here's what it is. Why would the Oregon Republican Party say that and risk all of their credibility as an organization? Why would Bill Currier go out there and say this publicly, risking his credibility if it wasn't true, if they weren't on track to do it? Now, I want you to think about that. Is this really going nowhere? I don't think so. I'm just going to share with you why. If, in fact, they're on track, they're going to get the signatures. Now, the editors who wrote this editorial want you to think that this recall is going nowhere because they don't want it to succeed. They want Kate Brown to remain in office. That's the first clue you have about them. So when they say it's not going anywhere, just think about this. Obviously, there's a bunch of people that are not happy with Kate Brown. Her polling shows this. Now, we've talked about this, right? She's the third, almost bottom, dead last of governors in this country in that big poll that is constantly updated. Right, so she's unpopular. That's my point. You don't mount recall efforts willy-nilly, folks. The Oregon Republican Party doesn't do it just to get headlines, just to start conversations. Now, those are inevitable things that help the Republican Party. And yes, people who didn't like Democrats and independents who did not like what happened during the legislative session. Yeah, they're signing these things. Many of them are also re-registering as Republicans, or they're de-registering as Democrats and becoming unaffiliated because they don't like either party. Okay, fine. All of that leads to the fact that you just don't do this, folks, unless there's an enormous amount of dissatisfaction with a particular politician. That's what these guys are missing. Now, here's what happens. If they get the signatures, Kate Brown has the option of resigning within 5 days, which she won't do. And then you got to have this election in 35 days. Bill Currier said there is national money that's been promised to him if they get the signatures. Okay. They go on to say, the editors say, recall's generally been and ought to be reserved for corruption and malfeasance, not for policy differences. Wrong. That's your opinion. Guys, you editorial folks, there's nothing in the Constitution that says it has to be for corruption or malfeasance. You could recall somebody for any reason. Now, they acknowledge that here. But just because people can't articulate it, it's a feeling, folks. And that's what they admit here in this story. They say, and I quote again from the editorial, it's not a story, it's an editorial. In general, signers said Brown was responsible for turning Oregon into a pro-tax, anti-gun, and anti-business state, in contrast to what they said was the will of the voters. Beyond that, they just don't like her. Okay. So in this age of celebrity presidents, right? Obama being the first, well, actually, Bill Clinton being the first celebrity president. He was our first black president, right? Well, he's the first celebrity president. Then our first so-called half-black president was Barack Obama, who loved being a celebrity president. So why is it that we think it's strange that because people don't like someone, they want to recall them? You add that to the fact that she did give the middle finger to us, the voters, on a whole host of issues, including illegal alien driver's licenses. That's what these editorial writers miss entirely. It's more fake news, folks. When we come back, Trump diverting billions of dollars of military construction spending. I'm going to tell you why he's going to get away with it. Go away, 648.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
All right, friends, you can also send me an email to jeff at 1220.am, and I'll do my darndest to read it on the air in this last segment of today's show, and I will get to them in a momento. But we need to get to the phones. We'll start with Art. Art, good morning. What do you say, brother?
Well, good morning, Jeff. I think those people really didn't want to be their names put out in the news media when they were at the fair, because they don't trust the news media and stuff. And so when I was there and actually signing the petition, the people who were signing it had lots of reasons, as you know. I mean, the list is very, very long. But for the news media to go out there and say they had trouble doing it, it's just a false statement. I can bet you, well, I could tell you, a lot of people don't want to talk to the news media because they get misquoted and they really don't want their name out there in the public, because words get twisted and they just don't like to be out there.
Well, true. I mean, this, I think, is one of the things about polling that you got to just take with a real grain of salt is, you know, first of all, polling can be very misleading. I know, Art, because I do polling. It's how you ask the question, right? You can ask questions in a certain way to get a particular response. So with a live phone poll, it can be very misleading if you want it to be, okay? So that's the first thing. Second thing is exactly this phenomenon that you've said, especially when it came to Trump. I mean, this is something people admitted to, is that they didn't want to, because he was so controversial, right? They didn't want to admit that they were going to vote for the guy. They didn't want to admit what they really thought of him because they were afraid of being ostracized, and it's even worse now. So how can you depend on any of these polls?
Well, you can't. But I can guarantee you a lot of people out there don't want to have their words twisted, and those people at the fair were probably surprised that somebody wanted to interview them why they were signing the petition to recall Kate Brown. And there's a lot of mistrust there in the news media, Jeff. And I can tell you, people are afraid of retaliation from the left, because those people, if they know you're not on their side, they'll attack you. I mean,
they will. And I'll tell you that there are sycophants. And Art, I got to let you go because we got a full line lit up here. All right, thanks, brother. There are sycophants on the left who apparently all they do is just troll. And they read these news stories, and they get your name, and then they find you on social media, if you're on social media, and then they start hammering away at you. And if you're not prepared for that, people don't like it, and they recoil from it because you're not used to it. That's what happens here, and you're right. That's why they don't want to talk to the media. They don't want to tell them the truth. Let's go to Ron, and then we're going to go to Rich. Ron, good morning, brother. What do you say?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. I was at the Republican booth Monday, the 2nd of this month.
Okay.
And people were backed up trying to get their names on those signatures. They had three people around the counter there with petitions, signing people up, and I was trying to get a moment to talk with Jessica Snook, who was in charge of the booth, and she was so busy I couldn't even do it.
No kidding! Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Now, and this was the Oregon Republican Party booth or the Marion County, or both? Were they together?
Well,
Marion County Republican.
I'm with Marion County, PCP for House District 40. I've talked to you before.
Right. Right.
I didn't realize the Republicans had two booths.
Well, I don't know that they do, because I never made it to the fair, so I don't know.
This was Jackman Long Building, and that was, I think, the only Republican booth that I saw was there.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine that there would be two. Normally, the Marion County Republicans and the ORP are together. Well, that's good to hear. I mean, that kind of flies in the face of what, you know, Tim had called earlier and said that, you know, he'd been to the booth and there was, you know, nothing up front and so on and so forth. And that it, you're the second caller to say, now that's not what my experience was. So I don't know. Maybe Tim just got there at a particular time where something like that was happening. Ron, thanks so much for the great story. I appreciate that. I've got to move on
Jeff,
to my buddy.
One
Rich.
Last word.
Yeah. Oops. Well, darn. Okay, so let's move on to my friend Rich. Rich, good morning. How are you, brother?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
I worked the booth, and it was five deep trying to sign the petition, and the Marin County and the Oregon State Republican Party was all one booth in the Jackman Long building. And they were very articulate on why they wanted to sign that. And the other thing I can say is, if you don't want to be misquoted on anything, especially if you ask the time of day, then don't talk to the news media.
Yeah, are you saying that you agree with Art that you don't trust him? Is that what you're saying?
I'd say that's a good way to put it. In my lifetime, I've been on the news more than once, and you can't even tell. They'll ask you what time of day it is, and you'll tell them, and they misquote you. So if they can't get that right, why deal with them?
Good point. Not hard to argue with that. Thanks, brother. All right, we're talking about Tim, it seems Tim is on the line. Tim, good morning. What do you say, brother? Oh, darn it, he dropped. Okay. Well, all right, so let me just share with you something here. By the way, it's really good to hear these stories that there were lots of people lined up. I got a great email here from Nick. Nick, let me read through. It's too long. Let me read through your email here. And I really do appreciate you taking the time to talk about this. It has to do with homelessness and how things are just getting out of control, squatters and that kind of thing. And Nick, I appreciate it. Mary, thank you for the email. I'm responding to you here in just a moment. Let me just finish this thought because we're almost at the end of the show here. Folks, about Trump is diverting through the Pentagon about $3.4, I think it is, or $3.6 billion of military construction spending, both in America and abroad. Now, let me tell you why he's going to get away with this. Now, you would think that Congress is going to be all wound up about it. And yeah, they're going to position themselves that way. Why? Because the military spending on the U.S. side, which is about half of it, is typically pork in a congressman's district or a senator's state. Okay? Now, these are line items that they get inserted into the budget. All right? And their argument is they know better how to spend or federal money in their districts than some bureaucrat in D.C. Well, okay, I get that. But it's still pork, folks. And they love to bring home the bacon because that helps get some reelected, right? Because they tout how wonderful they are. Like Mark Hass saying, hey, I just raised your cost of living with this new sales tax, right? Here's the reality. Trump's going to get away with it. Why? Because they're not going to do anything about it. Because they'll just replace the money in the next budget. And the story says that. And they are addicted to spending. They're addicted to pork. You can bet Trump will get away with this. Folks, thanks for listening today. I deeply appreciate each and every one of you. Get out there. Make it a great day. See you tomorrow.